It's all about the timing, isn't it? And when I say that, there was just a little while ago, Derek asked me to say, you know, whether I could give a message this morning. And I said, listen, mate, when he had his pastor's voice on when he rang me, and I said, listen, the answer's no to whatever you're going to say. And he went, oh, I might have been going to ask you, did you want to come around for dinner or something? And I said, I doubt that that was what you're going to ask me. And basically he said, would I preach today? And I said, no. But I said, I'll tell you what, I'll pray about it for half a day. And put half a day into it. And guess what the answer was? Because here I am today. So why the timing's good is that I've been through a bit of a journey, and it's actually great to be able to share some of it with you today, and I hope that there might be something that you get out of it. And the journey for me was a change journey that I think we've all been through in recent times in a whole lot of different ways. But during this period of time, it was like the journey, if you can imagine a road, and there's a few rocks on it, and the rocks were giving me a bit of grief. One big rock was drought. And I put a fair bit of time in looking at it, even though I didn't want to. And people, guess what? A few rocks on the road, there's people sometimes. And I just sort of got to a spot where I was just stuck. And I was happy to be stuck. I don't know if you guys have been in that situation where you're just happy to sit where you're at. And you know what? Everyone can do whatever they want and do and be whoever they want to be. And I'll just wait, and when God gives me the giddy up, I'll get going then. But really, I think He'll just leave me alone, and I'll just be a bit sad in my own happiness. And so, but something I learned pretty quickly was that I couldn't actually keep away from people. Go figure. Even though I'd go, oh, I'm just going to sort of mope around here a bit, I'd soon find, and I'd have to confess, and I've said this before, I've drunk more beer this summer than any other summer because I've had more time. And I'll generally grab a few beers and take it to someone that I know, and hopefully someone different at different times, and we'll just talk about life and talk about a few things. So it's not that I consumed a lot in a session, but I've certainly been socialising, I suppose, just being with people. And that's always, I guess, since I met Jesus, that's always been on my heart. So here I am with the rocks on the road, and feeling pretty content there in that. And Tim's message last week, he talked about the kingdom of God. And the words that struck me the most was the kingdom, God's kingdom is here now. It's here now. And I went away thinking about that, and it really excited me. Even though I already knew it, I was pretty happy just to let go of it. And so for that, for me, it was, well, this question's been running around in my head for a few months, is what's the main thing? So for me, what is the main thing that in my life, the thing that I want to concentrate on? So I want to talk a little bit about that today. If it's okay, I'll just pray again, if that's all right. Lord, I just want to thank you for the rain that's fallen. Lord, I want to thank you that you can turn a countryside around in a matter of days, Lord. I want to thank you for the rain, the river running, Lord. And I want to thank you that there will be a lot of water run into storages here, into Beardmore Dam and to the local town Weir. And Lord, it's times like these that I can really see our church name, River Life, how that connection with you, Jesus, that you are the river of life. And when there's water, there is life. And I want to thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I just pray that my words would come out the right way and that I could give honour to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So Sue, I was wondering if you could put up Luke 4:42-43. So I'm just going to just go back a little bit and start a little journey with you guys. There's going to be a few Bible readings, but They're pretty self-explanatory, and hopefully we can move through it pretty quick. So we're on Luke 4, 42-43. So at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. And you can't blame him for that. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. So for me, that scripture of proclaiming the good news to everybody, and that combination of that is why Jesus is here. That's why he was sent, to proclaim that good news. And what good news it is, because when I think of a kingdom, in earlier days when I thought of God's kingdom, I'd think of a gold pillar and maybe a big gold chair with God sitting on it and Jesus beside him. And that'd be my first image, I guess, of, you know, when I'm thinking of a kingdom. But it's pretty empty when you haven't got a people. And God's always talking about his people. And you guys are the kingdom of God. That Jesus in you. And at times we can, I guess, like I confessed before, forget that. So here we are, we've got Jesus proclaiming the good news, the gospel message that he's here and the old is gone and there's a new start, which we'll talk about here shortly. So Sue, I think John 6, please. Is it possible to run that through to 40, verse 40?
Yeah, it'll come.
Oh, excellent. Okay. So then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. What encouraging words for us that not only do we get to absorb Jesus' purpose, but the tie-up between the Father and Son, to me, is just so so powerful. And anyone who's a father that has a son, and when you work together, that's one of the most, or a daughter, it's one of the most enjoyable times, is when you've actually worked together to accomplish something. And I mean, this is the true model. So this is this partnership that the Father and Son have on establishing the kingdom. And of course, I keep coming back to that kingdom of God being of you and me. I think we do a lot of talking about God and Jesus, which is fantastic, and we need to keep doing that. We praised praise them both this morning, and we're going to keep doing that. But I've got to say, when I hang with you guys, I see a bit of Jesus in everyone. That's what excites me. That's the kingdom of God at work. Because I'm so deficient in so many areas. I was thinking there this morning, I cooked some poached eggs, and I forgot to put the vinegar in. And I've got this little thing where you stir the pot with the water, and you put a little bit of vinegar in, and you bring it to boil and put the eggs in. Because I forgot to put the vinegar in, those jolly whites, they just went to a cloudy mess, and it just all went pear-shaped really quick. The same with Emily not being here. The band went pear-shaped pretty quick. It was like everyone could function in its own element, but yet without that missing piece, the bit that like any of the band could have not been here, and it would have attributed to a similar result. And it's that, I guess it's that joy of being in his kingdom, that it's okay to be a bit deficient in certain areas, because our brothers and sisters will make the kingdom complete. 2 Corinthians. This is the Message version, I think. Sue was kind enough to find the Message version for me, and I really like it. This is actually one of my favourite pieces of scripture, and I'm a bit of a dummy sometimes, and I find it hard to grasp sometimes some words out of the Bible, and the Message sort of blends it and makes it like a story out of it. So, and actually Tofty got me onto the Message a long time ago. I don't know if you remember, mate. You said, "Hey, you're a bit of a dummy. I reckon you'd do well with the Message." He didn't actually quite say that, but he's pretty right. So 2 Corinthians 3:12-18. With that kind of hope to excite us, so we're talking about, for me, the Father and the Son, and what we just shared before, it's just, there's so much hope. Nothing holds us back. Unlike Moses, we have nothing to hide. Everything is out in the open with us. He wore a veil so the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory was fading away, and they didn't notice. So what that's talking about is, you guys would remember when Moses would meet with God, they'd go to a remote location up a mountain, and his face would glow after spending some time with God. Moses' face would be so bright, the rest of the people, the Israelites, could see, hey, he's hanging with God. How good's that? So as that faded and he wasn't hanging with God, it's just like, oh, mate, I don't want the people to see that. I'm just going to put this veil over just so they don't know whether I've been hanging with him or not. You know, it's just it was just a visual thing. Anyway, and they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now. Don't notice that there's nothing left behind that veil. Even today, when the proclamations of that old bankrupt government are read out, so we're talking actually about the law that was written on tablets, that was the old establishment. That was the way that the old was, that it was done by law. Okay, it was law-based. That they can't see through it. Only Christ can get rid of the veil so they can see for themselves that there's nothing there. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognise that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiselled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognised as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. And that's the glory to glory bit. In the other, the NIV, it'll talk about going from glory to glory. The more we hang with Jesus, the more like him we get and the more Christ-like we get. And I just think that's a lovely written bit of scripture, and I find it quite encouraging. So for me, this is the doing bit in the kingdom. This is where we're at in the middle of it, where you and I are at right now, is we're being transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like him. And I want to encourage everyone today with that we are becoming more like him through nothing that we've done, through everything that Jesus has done. But it was the plan of God to establish his kingdom. And what a powerful kingdom it is to be part of your lives and others outside this building, other Christians. It's just, it's very encouraging for me. I'd like to go to Mark 4, if that's right. So we're back to the NIV now, guys, the NIV version. So Mark 4:26-32. So this is Jesus talking, and I'm pretty sure. And it's he's talking in parables here, and there's a I've got a favourite parable here that it won't be hard to work out why it's a favourite. Thanks, Sue. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. And the parable of the mustard seed. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Could you go back to the farmer's version there, please? So the first bit. This is what the kingdom of God is like. You don't have to be Einstein. This is what I was saying. Timing is just perfect. Shortly, we're going to be slipping some mung beans in the dirt. They're a little seed, but it does grow as a little plant, so there's nothing too spectacular. But what is good is we've got moisture, or we can now put water on the land and make a seed grow. But that's all I can do. It's still a mystery to me how it grows. There used to be a joke, you could plant the seed, you know, you're planting the seeds upside down, you know. Somehow that seed works out which way's up. Somehow it works out how to grab the nutrition. Somehow it works out to produce a crop all by itself. I can only tend it. I can manage it. I can manipulate it in small little ways, but I still don't know why it grows. It's a mystery to me. And I can totally relate to the kingdom of God being like that, that it's a mystery to me. I don't fully grasp it. I understand a lot, but there's a whole lot I don't understand, and I'm happy with not understanding it. I guess that's the peace and trust that I have in that process. But I know what relationship I have with God and through Jesus, and I know what relationship I have with you guys as well. And for me, the kingdom is not about knowing everything. It's just accepting and letting God do what God does. He plants the seeds, and we can be part of the seeding process, but all the nice words and kind deeds and not like work that we could put into someone doesn't mean that the seed will take root and sprout in that person's life, and that's okay, because that's God's job, not ours. But we can keep spreading that seed, like the parable of the sower. We can even be a bit wild with it. We can even just broadcast it pretty well. We don't. It doesn't matter if it falls on a bit of rock. That's not our problem. But how do we do that if we don't have relationships with people? How do we do that if Craig's looking and stuck on the road, looking at the rocks, and that's where I'm happy to stay, in amongst the rocks? And I'm on the journey, but I'm stopped, or I was stopped. So it's so great to get going again and heading and appreciating God's kingdom. So for you guys, what is the main thing? What's the main thing that that works on your heart when we talk about the kingdom of God? And if you can find that, and a lot of you already know that, well, happy days. And I just want to pray for everyone here this morning, if that's okay. Lord, I just pray that your kingdom would be on our hearts, Lord, that our relationship with you, that we would know that it is all done, Lord, that as we trust in you and you soften our heart and you work on us, our minds and our thoughts, that, Lord, you give our legs actions and our words, words to our mouth, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray for everyone here, Lord. I just pray for your kingdom, Lord, that we can get excited about it, Lord. I want to thank you for Tim for coming out last week and, exciting me, just planting something there that got me going, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray your blessing upon us this week in Jesus' name.